Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT special number 166, recorded September 1st, 2013. PrinterBot. So hello, everybody. We're doing a little TWiT special before we do the TWiT show this afternoon. Brooke Drum is here. He's from PrinterBot, PrinterBot.com. You might remember, it was a Kickstarter project to build a 3D, inexpensive 3D printer for education. And Brooke's got a company doing it. This is a PrinterBot Plus. This is the high end.
Yeah.
Hi, Brooke.
Right.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Came down from the Sacramento area to drop this off.
That's right.
Is this for us?
This is yours, man.
Hey! We got a 3D printer.
Nice.
Ew. Score. I don't know what we're going to do with it, but we got it.
Print things.
Exactly.
Well, look at all the things that... Now, 3D printing is suddenly huge in the news, partly because of Brie Pettis and his MakerBots,
sure.
Which just got acquired for almost $500 million by the big commercial 3D printing company. What is happening with 3D printing as a hobby?
Yeah, I think the technology right now is really hobbyist. It's interesting. Ars Technica just did an article on one of our cheapest models, $299, for the...
Wait a minute, $299? Not for this.
For the PrinterBot Simple.
And that's a kit.
It's a kit, but you can get it for $399 as assembled.
Okay.
So it's really the cheapest 3D printer on the market in the world right now. And they put it up against a MakerBot Replicator 2. And it's actually a really good article. It's funny because you know how John C. always is the curmudgeon of you know, everything.
Right.
This guy Lee kind of took that tact, and
but I
appreciated it because it was like, you know what, all 3D printing is actually hard right now.
It feels like the early days of PCs, frankly.
It really is. Yeah. There's a guy that works for me, Carl Ubis. The hot end, that little red sleeve is covering the hot end. The technology that melts the plastic. It's thermoplastic. He actually worked in at HP in Silicon Valley back in the 70s, and he always tells me, Brooke, this is just like the PC days.
Yeah,
He had the same boss as Woz, and knew Woz, went to the computer club.
It feels like that.
The whole nine yards.
So these all work kind of the same. They're melting either plastic or a resin.
Yeah.
And they're doing it in an XYZ controller that allows the head to move around, right?
Yeah. So there's both.
Is it XYZ or just XY?
Well, the FDM, which is fused deposition modeling, right? So it's thermoplastic. It's XYZ.
It can move up as well as left, right.
Yeah, you'll see that move up as it goes, and the bed's moving on the XY.
Right.
But the resin printers are literally only Z.
They're building up.
So the base
moves around, and the head stays in the same place.
For the resin print, I have a Form Labs.
Yeah.
They were also a Kickstarter, and they do resin based. And so that's a body scan of me.
That's you in a resin form. Can you get the over the shoulder there, Jason?
We just did a body scan of me and a bunch of other people.
Hold on 1 second.
This is just coming up, and lasers are basically through light are exposing this resin and curing it. And then it just
is a very different way of doing it.
Moves straight up. Yeah, we're doing a resin-based printer, too. We just haven't finished it yet.
So this is resin.
Yeah, that's right. But right now, we're FDM, all the plastic stuff here.
This is PLA plastic that comes on a
spool.
This
is PLA, yeah.
Yeah. Most of this stuff is PLA. You built these last night.
This one was done on your printer.
Okay, what is my printer? The PrinterBot Plus?
So this is the Plus.
That's $1,000?
$1,000. We have an $800 printer that's assembled called the Junior. You can fold it up and put in your backpack.
You're trying to position these for education mostly?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's early days, and so education is part of the...
Certainly hobbyists. I mean...
Yeah, totally.
But
early
we were talking,
hobbyists.
Alex Lindsay was here earlier, and he said, you know, they have a replicator from MakerBot. He said, we needed to make a teleprompter, so we just made our own.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are some people using this for real.
Oh,
you
sure.
said you have a toilet handle that's made,
yeah,
out,
that's
made
right.
on a printer bot.
Ever since I started the company, I've always been waiting for reasons to use it. And I use SketchUp, and Alex said he uses SketchUp.
That's the software tool you're using for this.
Yeah, Google did SketchUp to do all the buildings and Google Maps.
Right.
and it's totally free. There's a pro
not SketchUp Pro using the free SketchUp. One.
And there's a little plugin that you can get that exports STL, and so STL is the file format for all this stuff. And it's basically just the skin of a model. It's nothing on the inside. When you go to print, you have to tell it, I want it this density. Mm-hmm. So the infill is like 0.25. Like this is 0.25. It could be solid, but I chose to just put a like honeycomb mesh in the middle because you don't see the middle. So right. It's just the skin. It's easy to use.
This is an interesting piece. This is metal, but it was PLA. The outside was printed in PLA, and then they poured. They can't use it as a cast.
Right. Yeah, this professor down in New Mexico, he does an art class. Yeah. We're giving him a printer, and he sent me that in trade. He sent me a couple pieces. But, you know, like rings and jewelry and stuff, the really high resolution.
You could make a ring with this?
Oh, sure.
So you're driving the printer now from your laptop.
Yeah.
Now, there's some special software that you're using for
this?
This
is all open source. I'm a completely open source company. You can go online and get the plans for this and all my printers. Totally open source. The electronics are open source. The software is all open source. So when you think about differentiators between MakerBot and me, I'm a completely open source company, and Bree has over time closed it down, and he's closed source. So there is some pain that goes along with open source, but we're really embracing hackerspaces, education right now.
Do you support Shapeways and some of these other databases of sites?
So I've met these guys, great guys, and obviously they have great prints. They can print in metal, in all kinds of, but it, you know, million-dollar printers, million-and-a-half-dollar
So you
printers.
Send them a design and they make it.
So, yeah, anybody can design. You can even design in SketchUp and send something away to be printed in a really high resolution with, you know, titanium.
Right.
Mine are ABS, PLA, polycarbonate. There's even flexible PLA.
How expensive are the materials? We're using a big reel of PLA plastic. It just comes in a...
One kilogram, 2.2 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And that's $30.
Oh, that's not bad.
On my site. MakerBot sells it for $60.
Okay.
So
you're kind of the
value,
the Volkswagen of 3D printers.
Well, it's funny because I know what it costs. You know, it's like it's literally like $6-7 a pound to get this stuff made. We make it in the U.S. There's lots of China.
You have to make it yourself. You don't just buy this.
Well, we have an extruder that makes this for us in San Diego.
Wow.
But MakerBot sells it for, you know, a higher profit margin. And that's really where I started. I first was interested in this. I've been watching Popular Science and Jay Leno doing stuff for his cars and whatnot. And I've been watching this for a while. But finally, when I saw on have you heard of Make Magazine?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Dale Daugherty, Make Magazine.
Yeah.
I saw Bree on the cover, and it was kind of, wow, I want to get one of these. So it was $1,200, saved up for months. And when I put it together with my kids, I've got three kids, and my youngest learned to solder on a 3D printer. I thought, you can't require soldering. You can't have 1,200 parts. It's got to be easier. So as I lived with it for a while, I thought, man, I can do better. And so I designed a simpler one, and then we did a Kickstarter.
One of the things that made this explode was the patents on 3D printing, the FDM patents, had expired. Mm-hmm. So this stuff is – and this is the beauty of a patent system when it works well. They were able to invent this stuff, patent it, make money on it for 20 years.
30 years.
But now everybody has access to it.
It's been
and
a
this can explode.
Years. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
it's very exciting.
A guy in England, a professor, open sourced the first RepRap, and that stands for Replicating Rapid Prototyper. And basically the original idea was for him, he studies game theory and everything. He released these plans that you can actually print. So these printers can print replicas of themselves. So the Kickstarter that I did was a $500 printer that can print itself. So we had 30 printer bots printing 1,140 printer bots.
Wow. Yeah. What a good idea. Now, you're not still doing that.
No.
These don't look printed. These look like they're made.
I did the Kickstarter, and I thought $25,000. I had to talk my wife into it. She said, do the Kickstarter. Don't sell the cars or mortgage the house. So we did the Kickstarter. I was embarrassed at first thinking that $25,000 was a lot to ask. But
in terms of Kickstarters, it's not, actually.
No. But like my first one was the Glyph, and they went to $300, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that would be amazing. In 48 hours, we funded $25,000, and then we went to $830,000.
You're kidding!
Wow.
How big was yours, Jason?
Oh, well, mine was music, first of all, and it was only 10 in comparison.
You
which,
got 800,000 on your
830,000.
Holy
That's
cow.
Crazy.
And, yeah, that kind of plunged me into this whole world of, okay, now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No we got some money.
Yeah. So I went full time. I literally started in my garage.
Now, is it done? It's just stopped.
Yeah. This is a calibration cube. So when you first get a printer up and running, you want to make sure that the dimensions are right.
Right.
So you can measure the width and length and height and know that your printer's calibrated. So it's a simple cube.
Wow. So this was back in 2011
That's right.
You did this.
It's coming up on 2 years in December. Yeah, talk about a roller coaster.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you did what you had hoped to do? It says finally a 3D printer kit anyone can build. Yep, check.
Yeah. We did. One thing about Kickstarter, it's crazy because you never think you're going to go that big. And at the time, we were in like the number two highest. We got the highest in technology.
Wow.
Other than one other person. You know, I got the Pebble on. They were another one during that
time.
There
you go. Yeah.
And it's funny because it kind of just pushes you into the limelight, and you have to find out with School of Hard Knocks,
What do you do next?
Yeah. Are you qualified to run a company at that scale?
I guess you are, Brooke. You're still here. So you printed the brownie. We know it's calibrated, or do we have to do anything to fix it?
Now, what I do now is I would just...
John has the calipers. Do you want to...
I did this last night. So measure it with the caliper. We can just pull this off. All right. So it's supposed to be 20... Oh, yeah. These are the cheap ones. No offense. You gotta get Fowler. So it's supposed to be 20 millimeters. It's 20.57 by 20.73.
So about a half millimeter off. Is that too much? Or
You could totally dial it in to be perfect.
And you can.
It's a little low on... It's supposed to be 10 millimeters.
Here, hold it a little bit lower.
Oh, sorry.
There. Yeah.
Okay, so...
It's supposed to be 10 millimeters.
20.66. Make sure it's... There we go. 20.68 by 20.62.
On a Fowler, it'd probably be more.
I'm serious. I use these because they were free for a long time. I have a couple pairs of these. They just break.
Hey, we don't really have any use for calipers, so I'm glad we even have some.
And then we got...
we have calipered? No, we need calipers.
This is supposed to be 10, and this is 8.9.
The tolerances are tight enough that you could get it down to almost perfect.
Oh, yeah. So in the program here, in the open source program, you can totally dial it in.
What program are you using?
Currently, embarrassed to say, I use the old school Pronterface. We now recommend Repetier.
Okay.
Open source, I mean, man, one thing I learned when I got into this was open source is like herding cats. No one is focused at all.
No. Of course not.
And the interfaces are terrible, as you can see here. So we recommend Repetier, and the Getting Started guide that I recommend that's on our website, it recommends Repetier.
Okay.
So it's a little more nice to look at and a little more powerful. But I'm old school because I started, 2 years ago. But anyway, you can put
isn't that funny?
You can put a
old
G-code,
school 2 years.
You can put a G-code in there and calibrate it. So you really have to just tell the motors how many steps per millimeter are there, and it goes out to like four decimals, so you can totally dial it in.
Cool. So what are you gonna? You want to print something, or it takes a while. We should say this is not something you do in seconds or minutes. It's not the replicator from Star Trek yet, but
right.
So these twit bugs that you printed last
night. these are one of the things that I really feel passionate about. Since I'm into education, is educating folks about this, and a couple things about 3D printers today. They're all hard to use.
You have to use the software, for one thing.
I mean, you have to understand how the machine works.
Right.
I mean, whether it's a $300 printer bot or a $2,800 replicator 2X, they will break. And so you got to clean the head.
Oh.
You do have to be...
It'll break.
It's funny because the technology right now is coming in a time where it's brand new, when we also have iPads that are like 3-year-olds can use.
Yeah, we're going back to the 80s.
Totally.
Yeah,
so people aren't really prepared for that kind of, mm-hmm. learning involved. But I just want to be honest and say that, to dial yours in last night, I took a couple hours. I took it off the shelf. I calibrated. I printed some stuff. I failed at some things.
Yeah.
And then I calibrated and then came up with this.
And how long did it take to print this nice little 3D vase?
That was probably 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Nah. This was probably 10.
Okay.
But this was pre-calibration, these things right here. So you can kind of see, there's a little bit of banding.
It gets a little smoother when you calibrate it.
Yeah, this is a little smoother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I mean, it's really early.
I'm just fascinated by this.
Really early days.
So we now have this. Are we going to, who wants to, Burke, is this your baby? You want to take this on? John, who wants to be responsible?
I think Burke is Bailiwick.
Okay. So, Burke, is there training involved that we need to teach him how to clean and fix?
I mean, literally,
I think Burke will look at this and just get it. He's just good at that stuff.
You have to be able to operate some software. You can download models off of Thingiverse. So there's like
30,000. So this does support Thingiverse.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
30,000 models in Thingiverse. I have an iPhone app that you can look at stuff and download to your Dropbox.
Oh, neat.
That's called Makrz, M-A-K-R-Z. It's the base of what we hope will be a competitor to Thingiverse eventually.
Thingiverse is a database of 3D models.
Thingiverse is owned by MakerBot.
Right.
And it's STL files, and you see a bunch of SketchUp and some OBJ, just different file formats. But STL is an old printing format.
And this uses STL.
So. Yeah, these are all. This is Thingiverse, right. Thingiverse. This I created last night for you. I don't even know. Do you have a 3D model of the Twit logo?
We have several different interesting.
Yeah.
They look like they're made out of granulated sugar.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. That's
old, like Stratasys or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so these are made by probably people who work in the business.
There's another type of printer where it like spreads powder out across in a very thin layer, and then a laser kind of molds it together with the heat, and then it spreads out another layer. So you end up with like a whole cube of powder. You reach down in and you pull out what's been fused together.
Wow.
And that is so fragile.
That's probably what this was, right?
And that is so fragile, they have to dip it in like super glue.
It's very fragile. And you can see there's chips. Yeah. And
I've talked to guys that have...
We've broken it. We've glued it together a couple of times.
I've talked to guys that have companies that make these
Shapeways.
Things.
Shapeways. There you go. Yeah.
This is nice because like you could literally... We have skateboards that you can ride that we've printed.
Well, so that's the other question. This is obviously
that you
used
can do that.
For prototyping in business parts and so forth. Those are probably much more expensive, fancier machines.
Oh, totally, yeah. I mean, literally, to get into a pro, like, and this is what they call pro, and what they kind of...
But this is fragile.
I know, it's fragile, but it's pretty smooth.
Yeah.
And you can do this crazy, because it's supported by the powder around it, you can do any kind of crazy model.
Well, the other thing I like is this is in multicolors. When are we going to get multicolor 3D printing?
You know, it's coming. There's a huge, huge just onslaught of newcomers.
It seems
like
this is exploding.
Yeah. A couple years ago when I went to Maker Faire, they said the previous year there were three 3D printer companies, and MakerBot was one of them. The next year, there were like 70. And I didn't ask this year because, like, you turn away a bunch of people. There's a special issue coming out really soon by Make Magazine. And Make is the Bible for makers.
Right.
And it was what I subscribed to that inspired me to do this in the first place.
Sure.
Dale is great. All the people at Make are
fantastic.
Well,
they're just over the hill, you know. We know them all.
I know. It's great. I'm there often.
We even talked to them about doing a show. I would like to do a maker show that includes 3D printing, but now that we've got a printer bot, maybe we will. You know, maybe we can.
They're fantastic, and they really inspired me to do this. And you know, the next year there were so many printer companies, it was almost ridiculous. And the 3D printing issue that they did last year, we were on the cover along with Up or Affinia, which is kind of like a Chinese company. And then also, you know, MakerBot's up in the corner. So there's only a few players that sell thousands of printers, and we happen to be one of those.
So this is a going enterprise now. This is you took that $800,000, you created a real business. You're selling them at an amazingly low price, $299 for the kit, $399 assembled for the base model. This is about $1,000, which is still less than half what a MakerBot replicator would cost. So that's really exciting. This is an opportunity for anybody to kind of play with the hobby a little bit.
Yeah, I really recommend you read the Ars Technical article. It sounds like they're really hard on us, but it's pretty real.
You feel it's fair.
I really do, because it was the $3,300 printer versus the $300 printer, and they both can print the same thing. They both require maintenance.
Right.
It's early days, but we really want to say, hey, it's hard right now. If you're an early adopter, if you're an enthusiast, you can get into this. And in reality, you can make the stuff right here.
What does it take to print this wonderful tree frog?
Yeah, this is a PrinterBot user. This was one of the guys that bought a PrinterBot and sent it to
That's
us.
That's on a PrinterBot.
Absolutely.
Hey, if I can do that, I'm happy.
Right.
That is awesome.
Yeah, we just, I don't know if you got the email, but last week on Sunday, we actually went into space with a PrinterBot Simple. Have you seen the Burrito Bomber guys?
No.
The Yelp engineers, they decided they want to take, NASA was talking about all the 3D printing in space and everything. It's all right. This buzz. And they said, we're gonna go to space first. So last week I was up here and...
They launched you into space?
We launched in Antioch in a weather balloon for the second time. And we wanted to print in space 111,000 feet.
Did it work?
Yeah, we printed.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
It's really light. The Simple is super light. It's 5 pounds normally, but we got it down to under 4 pounds for the weather balloon. But and when I asked him how much did all this cost, the whole weather balloon and everything with the Simple printer was less than $1,000.
Still
less than half of a MakerBot.
That's so cool.
We are competing on price at the very least.
This looks like you could actually, this gear actually uses.
Yeah, that was actually one of the gears. We have an injection molded gear now, but the original Kickstarter used those gears.
Oh, that's right, because you were building printer. You were bootstrapping, building PrinterBot with PrinterBot.
Yep, replicating.
Wow. Well, Brooke, I'm so excited that we have one of these. I think we'll have to just do some periodic projects.
Absolutely.
We're going to put Burke in charge of keeping it running. And buying the PLA so we don't run out.
Oh, we'll make sure you're...
That's fine. And if people want to know more, then go to PrinterBot. There's no E in PrinterBot.com. And pick up one for an amazing price. Do you have support for schools that want to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you buy more than 10 printers, we give 10% off. I'm constantly talking to teachers and hackerspaces. Our heart is really with people that are educating others. So absolutely, teachers, hackerspaces, contact us.
Well, I'm probably going to buy a couple for the high school that I serve on the board of, because I think that this is smart kids who are taking engineering classes really need access to these kinds of tools.
We donate a bunch to
just for the future,
to robot clubs.
It's
and
just
schools.
Jumpstarting the future. I mean, this is
next week. A kid wrote me and said, we don't have money for it, but we'd love to do it. So they're coming next week, and they're going to print. Build one themselves, and we're going to give that away to them. So we do that kind of stuff. We really believe in kids and education. That's what will change the world. Not me doing the Kickstarter in this business, but the kids and what they're going to make.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you gave a personal computer in the early days of personal computing to a kid, you could be pretty much assured that that kid would grow up writing software, making things change.
Absolutely.
A Bill Gates or a Steve Wozniak. And so that's we're trying to create the new... Wazes of the 21st century.
There's a kid, Easton LaChapelle. He's a kid that started at 14 in Colorado. I wanted to tell you about. He met this girl that was a little like 8-9 year old girl that was missing an arm, and he met her and talked to parents and asked, how much does that arm cost? And they said, well, it's like $90,000.
Wow.
And we'll have to replace it twice.
Oh.
And he thought, with 3D printing, we got to be able to do better. So he actually, for 2 years, just learned Arduino, learned 3D printing, backed the Kickstarter. I sent him a printer. And a couple years later, he's met Obama, and he presented the arm is totally all of the degrees of motion. Yeah, he actually has one of those NeuroSky headsets that you can control it with your brain. And so he's got a 3D printed arm that's ready to put on people without an arm. And it literally cost is like $330.
Wow.
So when you think about how is this going to change the world, it can totally change individuals, one person at a time.
Oh, my God.
You can take this and make things that will really, really change people's lives.
Brooke, you have. This is really exciting. Brooke Drum, PrinterBot.com. We brought your site down. That's a good sign.
Awesome.
People go there and pick up one. We now have the PrinterBot Pro, the high-end the
PrinterBot
baby.
Plus.
And we're going to have to figure out, is a USB interface to the printer?
Yeah, we can send you an LCD panel. You don't have to use a computer.
No, we got a few computers around here.
Yeah.
We
probably... You're going to have to design if you want to make your own stuff, but use it autonomously.
Yeah, we'll design. I think we have a team of geeks here who probably can't wait to get printing. And maybe we'll start printing parts when we need parts.
We
need custom clips for the lavs. That's your first assignment, John.
Excellent.
Oh, this is fun. Hey, Brooke, it's really nice to meet you.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
You know, I know that you emailed Patrick Norton.
Yep.
And he got one, I guess, and you volunteered one for us. And,
yeah, there's Dvorak's a bunch of guys.
Dvorak's going to be here later.
Oh, great.
You know, you should talk to him.
I got to tell you, I've been listening ever since you guys started, and there's like this little hero list of podcasters that I've followed for years, and I just kept, you know, up on my tech listening to you guys week to week.
So good.
And literally the moment that PrinterBot came into my mind on how to design a lower cost printer was when I was listening to Twit podcast.
That's great.
Seriously.
Brooke. That's really exciting.
Anyway,
I'll show him and we'll print some stuff.
Awesome.
PrinterBot.com.